Oh, okay,
okay. Second talk of the day. Please welcome Jiffin with me for RGW here.
Good morning, all. I am Jiffin. I hope I am audible at the end. Yes? No. Okay. So I am part of the RGW team. Works in IBM. So I started my career in SEF like 5 years ago. I was trying to integrate SEF with Look for the RGW side. Then currently I'm mostly working on RGW latest stuffs. So this is a new project which we are working on. So today I am planning to cover following things. I'll just give a brief intro about what is intelligent tailoring is or what it means. It means different people, different things, but I will clear on that part. Then what do we have in RGW at the moment? Then I will briefly talk about cloud transition restore because the demo is based on those things. And I also mentioned briefly about like S3 tape, what it is. And yeah, fine. Okay. So what is intelligent tailoring? So basically, you need to move the data across different storage mediums, maybe hard HDDs, SSDs. That's the basic idea. And here in S3, like we talk about storage glasses, it represents your storage basically. So faster storage glasses, you need to move the data from different storage glasses, like the standard storage glass, then this glacier storage glass and all. And why we don't do want that? Why do we need that? Because basically it optimizes your cost, like you can keep the most recently accessed data in a faster medium, and like the data which is not that much useful, you can move to a slower medium. And how? It's based on policies, like the policies maybe on the access time, like the recently accessed data will be in the faster medium, and not much, like it will be on the slower medium, or after time, say 10 days, you need to move this data to another storage class kind of things. Now, what do we have in RGW? So if you know, like there's a placement targets, that's what we call, like in which we can define different types of storage glasses. And each storage glasses represent one pool. Like, so if a pool is created on a faster device, then you can name it like fast, something like that. And this is by default, it creates pools on the Ceph cluster, but I'm talking about like you can also specify pools in which your data can go on. And so as I mentioned before, we have storage glasses, which is similar to what S3 provides, but yeah, it's based on Ceph pools. Then how we do the data transition or data movement, like again with S3 lifecycle policies. So we need to set that policy on the, on the buckets. And one thing is like, so the placement target, so this need to be mentioned when you create a bucket. So in the S3 request, there's a default placement constraint like that. We need to mention that. And you can mention the storage classes for the object operation. Like you can say if you put an object in a different specific storage class, then you can mention that. So that's a manual way of doing it. And after that, you can automatic or like you can do a lifecycle policy and that will move across different storage classes. And all the configuration are defined in the zone group level. So the placement target will be defined in the zone group level. And the zone level, we define the storage classes because in RGW, the zone represents the pool, basically. Like most of the times, like if it's a default thing, then it will be a default zone. But yeah, usually. Yeah. Now, as I mentioned earlier, so I have mentioned about like the data movement across different storage classes. This is a bit more advanced or not advanced, a different use case. So here, the movement is happening between RGW, which is an on-prem, and other one is like the cloud endpoint. So the cloud endpoint need to be like more like an S3 compatible thing. And so here, the zone level configuration is not required. In the placement group, you just define the storage class. And the storage graph, you need to mention the configuration. So this is a special type of storage class, which is known as Cloud S3. And you need to provide the S3 endpoint details, like access point, secret, region, and if you want to mention bucket, which bucket you need to put the data and on. So basically, this seems to be a bit controversial in the sense like the on-prem RGW data is moved across cloud. Cloud, you know, it's costly, and on-prem is cheaper. So this is kind of first step we are trying to sync with cloud thing. And yeah, in the later slides, the intelligent tailoring or like the tailoring which we are working on, which makes sense if you if I mention about C-tape. So yeah, as I mentioned, this is a unidirectional process as of now. And like I mean, as of now, in the sense, on the latest release, the skewed one, like it's kind of an it's already there, like it's unidirectional. The data will move to the cloud, but you cannot access the data after movement. And you can retain the head object, so you will have a reference in the on-prem cluster, and you can look on the data on the cloud. So that's what cloud transition is. And so this part is merged in the master self. So basically, this adds the restore capability. So we tried to map the restore functionality with restore API in S3. But again, in S3, the restore API is more like you need to move the data from a glacier to the standard story class kind of thing. That's why the API is used. But we are just trying to adopt the API for this purpose, this use case. Like if you use an restore request from the RGW cluster, then it will pick up the object from the cloud. Again, there's also you can use a normal getter operation and all, which is kind of a read-through, like in which you won't know. Like it will asynchronously download the data from the cloud, and then you can access that if you send get request or something like that on the head object. Now, so there are two types of restoring. So one is temporary. Again, it's based on the restore API which S3 provides. So temporary, the data will be stored temporarily, and the lifecycle rules which we have written on the bucket, it's not applicable for the data. And there's an expiration time, like in the next slide, I'll give more details about the S3 API. So after that expiration days or something like that, data will be again moved back to a step data, like kind of a head object kind of thing. So permanent is more like the object will be stored permanently, and so there's no time limit or something like that. But the lifecycle will apply on data, because if you say 10 days after the object need to be moved back to cloud, it will move back to the cloud. Then one key difference is that the restore type, if it's a temporary thing, then we are not doing it for the replication. Like multi-thread purposes, we will just keep it on one zone, because anyway the data will be moved after some time, right? Or, I mean, got deleted after some time. But the for permanent, like the data will be replicated on the different zones as well. And for the get request, this is for the for the S3 get request, if a user is getting the object via S3 get request, then the object will be restored temporary purpose. It's similar to temporary. Okay. Now this is how the API looks like. So as I mentioned, the S3, the API is defined to move the data from glacier or like low cost storage class to a high speed storage class using restore object. But for our use case, we are only supporting one parameter in the restore request, which is days. So if days is defined, then it's a temporary restore. If days is not defined, then it's more like permanent restore. So these are two options at the moment which are available for the request. One is version ID. So if you have multiple versions of the object, if you want to download one version or restore one version, then you can do that. So the current version in the, it will be moved. Like in the, so if you have multiple versions, say, and the four versions will be moved to the cloud, and the current version is 5th version, and if you are doing a restore, then it will restore on the third version, then the on-prem RGB will have the third version object. So the latest version will be overwrite. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. And for the, this is for the restore object call. Like similar to that, S3 has a get call, like CP or get object call. All will also will fetch the object from the cloud. For that, you need to configure two parameters in the TA config. So one is which makes the like the get request allow the read through. Like it will make the, if the request is initiated, then only if this option is set, then only the read through will happen. Other one is similar to the restore days, like how long you need to keep the object on the RGB server. Okay. Now this is basically like the verification thing, like how we can see the object is transitioned back to the RGBW server. So we have different headers. So when you initiate the request, it's an async call from the RGBW. So we will mark the object as like restore in progress. And when it is completed, we will mark it as cloud restored. If it is failed, then we make it restore failed again. And all this can be found from the RDoS admin object stat command as well as from the header. Like if you call S3 head object or something like that, you can see that this is your status. So that's the command. Now, for the permanent register, we are currently putting back the object to standard storage class. Like even if we have multiple storage class in the cluster, we only put in a standard storage class. It's kind of site like design limitation. Maybe in future we'll change it. But for temporary object, we are not changing the storage class. It will be still pointing to the cloud tier storage class which we have defined. Okay. Now, what is S3 tape? So most of you know tape is like very cheap storage which is available. Now, most of the S3 vendors also supporting like the tape storage. So basically, the tape, like even Amazon S3 or like Versity. So even so, basically, here the tape have an S3 interface. You can send call S3 calls to the tape. So that's the basic idea. And why people are doing it? So basically, the tape, like it's cost effective and like it's more durable than the other type of storage mediums. And yeah, so the thing is data integrity and multi-tenant support. So this is like the features of tape, which can be so here basically tape is kind of a different storage class, and we are moving your data from the S3 object store to a tape. We are again to S3 call. So as I mentioned, we only support S3 on the RGW level, so this can be also consumed. So the plan is to integrate with different type of tapes, and since we are working in IBM, the first goal is to integrate the Diamond tape, which is a tape solution which IBM provides. And yeah, so this is like ongoing work. So we are trying to support a different type of storage class known as Cloud S3 Glacier. And the PI is already there. Now we need to add the Glacier facility. So this might be more sense like from indigenous purposes, like the you are moving your data to a tape storage than in cloud or like more costly thing. So we can work on, like, we need to define policies which will automate the things. So that's the next step. And other thing is we need to add more debugging purpose in the for the user perspective, because here you are need to debug two different storage mediums. One is on the Ceph side and other is outside of Ceph. So yeah, this to-do is also like a tracker link which all the things are pending from our side or which are ongoing things. Yeah. So any questions, I'll go through a demo. If you want to ask questions now, we can ask questions now or after a demo also, which might be more clear, like how the things will work.
Demo.
Okay, then. So this is a recorder demo, and I hope it's visible. Is it visible on the back end? Oops. Yeah, okay, sure. So basically, I have created a Ceph cluster and using vSTAT. So my RGW is running. And if you just check, yeah, it's somewhere empty. Okay. Now I need to configure the, the cloud transition things here. So basically I have like a single node cluster, so it's a default sound group. And if you go, I have defined the placement and there's a cloud IBM storage class. Okay. Now I have defined the like tier config parameters like endpoint. This is the cloud S3 type and all. So yeah. Okay, and I also set some configuration, like this kind of tube configuration, so which will simulate the tier transition restore. So instead of days, like one day will be equal to 120 seconds, for example. And here, for the restore, like how long the restore or like how long the object will be, it will be 60 seconds. It's kind of simulation purpose. Now I'm going to create a bucket. Bucket is got created. Now I need to set the lifecycle rule. So yeah, here I have mentioned one day. After that, the object need to be transitioned, and I have given the cloud like the storage class. So it's cloud IBM. So this is an API to put the lifecycle configuration on the bucket, basically. Okay, now I need to add some data. So I'm just so this is a cloud endpoint which I have offered in the TA config. So if we check on this endpoint at the moment, yeah, there is no bucket named BCT which I have created earlier. So basically I am copying certain data to the bucket and see the transition is happening, then I will call the resolve request. So this is basically list object call. It will show the head contents. You can see the storage class is standard at the moment. So I have created three files. One is permanent, one for read through, and for temporary. So all of them has currently standard storage class. Still the transition has not happened, so it will take some time. I'm just forwarding a bit. So one thing you need to note that M time won't be changed for the entire process. So you can note the M time. Come on. Okay, now you can see all the data got transitioned. So that, and if you check the head object again, now the storage class is cloud IBM. So this is the permanent restore thing. As you can see, the object got restored here, but M time is same. Not modifying the M time. So in the demo, I face some issue. So basically, when I try to restore the objects, the first object got transition back to the cloud. So that's why the permanent is fine. Sorry. Now the temporary object got restored. Basically, finally, I'm doing the read through. 10 minutes later. So as you can see, like, since it's a small object, like, it ought to restart so fastly. Otherwise, like, it will just complete the request, but yeah, it will may take some time on the back end. Now I need to restore the permanent one again because the life cycle will kick off and like it transition my permanent object back to the cloud. Okay. Now I think I have all the objects. Yeah. Now if you check the head objects, so you can see the permanent one has a storage class standard, and yeah, other two has cloud IBM still. The storage, the size is changed, but yeah, otherwise storage class is still the same. Yeah, if you can check also, just showing the data which I had. Okay, yes. Yeah, so that's the demo. Any questions? Yeah, tell me. So the question was how the quota management for the storage classes, like how you can manage the quota on different storage classes and stuff. Actually, from your last slide, then only I came to know we have issue with the storage class, quota issues. So, like from your last presentation, you have mentioned like you have the issues with the quota and storage classes and all. So then only I came to know there is issue with that. So we'll look into that. So thanks. So yeah.
I mean, also accounting is not possible.
No, accounting is not possible. Because this feature both developed, the question was whether accounting was possible on this. This was featured like parallel with the accounting thing. We never test the accounting thing against the feature.
Okay, thank you.
The question was, oh, the question was whether we get bucket notification on the restore request. Again, it is not implemented, like it's today request on our side. So, that's good.
Also, regarding the namespaces on the backend storage, so you have like your namespace on these Redis gateway side, and then you have your backup namespace, and so how is name collision for bucket names managed in that regard? So
The question was the namespace on the Ceph cluster and how we can manage the namespaces in Ceph cluster and the tape cluster, whatever, the cloud backend. So actually we are not creating any bucket on the cloud backend. It was on the demo, since I forwarding it, it got removed. Basically we are just creating path kind of stuff on the bucket, like it's an object we are just showing it to, a bucket which is mentioned on the cloud. So we are not creating any buckets, so that type of collision won't happen as far as I understand. Regarding the users, I think it's all an S3 request sending from RGW to the end user. So RGW does not know about the user, like it just has the credentials. That's it, nothing apart from the user. So RGW is not aware of the users or something like that.
So that again ties into like the way how to invoice potential customers on the backend storage usage. So
there
is definitely a problem to invoice on certain usage.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
So you don't want to sell it for free.
Yeah.
Maybe there are somehow statistics that you can see how frequently this feature is used as well. So it's triggered by the client. Is there also
a reporting idea? Okay, so the question was kind of metrics from the client side. The metrics which how much request was sent from the client for restoring and all.
How many restores they did, for example, in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, the question was on metrics or like. So basically, we might add the telemetry part, I guess, which is like the restore request is not added. Like, similar to get to output, we may need to add the restore request on the telemetry side. Okay, thank you.